Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed. So you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
You're listening to the New Evangelicals Podcast. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the New Evangelicals Response. I'm Tim, the host of this segment. Join us every Wednesday as we respond to commentary on the pressing issues of our day, offering a thoughtful response rooted in love, justice, inclusivity, and of course, non-dehumanization. Let's get into it. Hello, beautiful people. How are you? It is time for me to give you all of the details and dig into my experience attending and speaking at the Exiles in Babylon conference. I have just so many thoughts, and I've been trying to do my best to get them organized. So I have a lot to get through today. My goal is to give you the full rundown of what I experienced, who I talked to, what the event was like, and the controversy surrounding it, all of that stuff. Before I do, I really want to say a sincere, sincere thank you. I know I thank the listeners every episode, but it's true. Like, I say it because I am so grateful for being able to do this work and to have you listening to the podcast. I do not take it for granted. We have been growing over the past few months now, especially with our newest format, doing the TNE talks and responds and recaps. I've gotten amazing feedback, and it was so cool meeting quite a few listeners of the podcast, even at this event. So if that's you, if you're someone who I met this week, thank you. It was so good to meet you. If you're someone who listens to every episode or just every now and then tunes into an episode because the title attracted you, thank you. I just am so grateful. And we are working feverishly behind the scenes to continue developing the content strategy for Project Amplify. As many of you know, it's kind of our way of trying to amplify more and more credible voices through more compelling content means. And hopefully you've seen an uptick with that, and we have more work to do. So just thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you, audience. Thank you for listening. So what is Exiles in Babylon? So this is an event hosted by Preston Sprinkle. We'll get into him in a little bit. And it's essentially a three-day bonanza covering all kinds of topics that are really in the cultural zeitgeist right now. So there was a panel on Israel and Palestine. There was a panel on deconstruction, reconstruction, and the gospel. There was a panel on women and patriarchy and church abuse. There was a panel on LGBTQ plus folks and the church. And there were panels about politics in the church and all that stuff. So the way this event is structured is there's no like main session where you have a bunch of people who speak for like a half hour. Instead, each session is really a panel of people. They each speak for 15 minutes on their topic, and then that panel will sit with Preston and do a Q&A. So either Preston might ask a question or the audience will ask questions. So the reason why this event was kind of controversial on my end is because if you know anything about Preston Sprinkle, and by the way, I have had him on the podcast before, Preston is someone who is, he would come across as very empathetic and kind and loving to queer people. He uses pronouns. He believes in using pronouns. He believes in affirming someone's gender identity. He's written books on this stuff. However, he is very strongly someone who holds to what he would call is a historical, biblical, sexual ethic, meaning that the only way that you can enjoy sex is between one man and one woman in some kind of covenantal marriage situation. So that means that he is not affirming, even though a lot of his actions lead people to think that he is, right? So this creates some problems for people because he's kind of polarized, or I should say he's polarizing in the queer community that I exist in, meaning I have a lot of friends in that space who I love and adore, who have taught me so much. And there are some who I hear from who go, wow, I'm really grateful that Preston, even though I disagree with him on the theology or the quote unquote biblical sexual ethic he holds to, he's really advocating for the church to be more kind and accepting and welcoming of queer people. And that really helps me and it lowers the temperature. Okay. Then you have other people who I know, love, and respect who say, the problem is Preston is really putting sugar over poison because ultimately he still believes in this ethic that is harming queer people ultimately. Yes to both from my vantage point. Now, as we know, I am a straight, cis, white, heterosexual man. So my opinion is not the one that you should take the most seriously. But I see both sides of this coin. There's a pragmatic side of me that goes, whatever we can do to lower the temperature, to protect the lives and civil rights of queer people, I want to push for. Then you have the other side of me that goes, this is not far enough. Why are we even having this conversation? Like, why are we making these theologies so hard and fast, especially when you consider the biblical language of sex and marriage is so different in every single way than how we think about marriage today, et cetera. So I really find myself torn. So here's the story. Preston reached out to me a few months ago. Him and I, we talk a lot. We talk on Voxer a lot about all kinds of issues. And Preston, and he would laugh if he heard me saying this, Preston frustrates me because him and I are aligned on so many serious issues that are affecting our day. We're aligned on how we think about Israel and Palestine. We're aligned on how we love people better. We're aligned on the problem of empire and imperialism and how as Christians we have to find ways to resist that. Like, we're really aligned on so many things. And then like we have this huge disagreement here, right? And so him and I talk a lot on Voxer, and he essentially said to me, hey, I'm doing this event, Exiles in Babylon. I'm doing this panel on deconstruction and reconstruction and reconstruction and the gospel. Would you be interested in being a part of that? And then that spot ended up getting filled. So he disinvited me, and then he reinvited me when that space or that spot, it vacated, that person couldn't make it. And so he said, okay, I changed my mind. You're back in. So I talked to a few friends, I talked to my board, and ultimately I said yes. And the reason why I said yes is because I really feel like part of the work that I do as an individual and as someone who represents in a public way this community in this space is that I will go into spaces and share the work that we do and what we're advocating for anywhere. And I thought this would be a great way to potentially reach some new people and say, listen, we are Christian. We love Jesus. Here's why I deconstructed. And yes, we are fully affirming and inclusive, and we advocate for that. Here you go. And so I said yes to the event. So I went and I prepared a 15-minute speech. Now, as of me recording this right now, I asked Preston, hey, can I grab my 15-minute speech and share it with the audience? He did not get back to me yet. And I just tend to err on the side of caution. I don't want Preston to think that, I'm trying to share something that maybe I shouldn't have shared yet because he has other plans. After all, I was on his platform at his conference. So if that changes between now and when this airs, I'll have Noah insert it and I'll kind of come back and break from this. But I'm not going to share the 15-minute talk I gave right now. When or if I get permission, maybe I'll share the whole thing on Instagram. But I essentially did a 15-minute talk on a combination of the work that we do at New Evangelicals, my story, what deconstruction is, what it's not, how a lot of us don't even use that term, although we don't gatekeep people from not using that term. I talked about Trump and Black Lives Matter and COVID, things that really changed my perspectives. And then I ended by saying, here's the work that we do now as an organization, that we fight for a fully inclusive and affirming church, that we believe in listening to the voices of our Black neighbors who tell us about the history and legacy of white supremacy at the hands of evangelicals, and we repent from that. And I talked also about standing with our oppressed neighbors, and I brought up my friend Daniel, a Palestinian Christian, who was actually at the event. We'll get into that in a minute, and said, and we want to stand with him and the Palestinians as we watch an Israeli military funded by the American Empire killing so many civilians. So I gave this talk. We had a discussion on this panel. It was Evan Wickham, who was to my right. It was another person named Abigail, who I never heard of before. She was actually really great. She's Catholic now. And then it was Amin. He's from Southside Rabbi. It's actually a quite enjoyable podcast. So four very different perspectives. We had a great dialogue. So that was my role in this. Okay. Now, this event attracts a lot of people. Here are some of the names who spoke or who were here at this event. Of course, you have Preston Sprinkle. You have Christopher Butler from the AND campaign. You have Mike Cosper from Christianity Today. You have Amin Hudson from Southside Rabbi. You have Dr. Richard Harvey, who's a Messianic Jew, talking about the Israel-Palestine conflict. You have Dr. Gary Burge, who's one of the most, He's one of the leading scholars, we can say, when it comes to the land of Israel-Palestine and what's going on there. There were so many others. Ruslan was there. Brian Zond was there. Evan Wickham. Dr. Julia Slattery was there. Dr. Sandy Richter was there. There was amazing people. And I talked to a lot of them. Okay. Now, one thing I should mention is part of the other side of this controversy was that there were some people who don't like me. There are folks like Elisa Childers, who we've critiqued before, Megan Basham, who, if you listen to our TNE recaps we talked about before, they were also exposing or trying to stir up a controversy, trying to call Preston heretical or not a safe Christian because I was being platformed there. So it was very interesting watching, and I felt bad, obviously. I did feel bad for Preston getting flack because I was attending an event that he invited me out to. I don't think he really cared about it, but that was kind of a fascinating piece. The other interesting thing about this event is that there was a protester, one protester, and I talked to her. I'm not going to say her name. She was very kind, and she was holding a sign, and here's what the sign read. The sign read, "Truth without love is wicked. Love without truth is evil." And on the back of this sign, she had resources or recommendations, and it was Elisa Childers, it was Frank Turek, it was Ali Stuckey, it was Mike Winger, etc., trying to give people better answers to how we handle gender and sexuality. So in her mind, Preston was too loving, which is so funny because in my circles, Preston is not loving enough. So, okay, so I go to this event, and here's why this event was so complicated, because in so many ways, I was like, yes, 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 yes. I mean, having my friend Daniel speak as a Palestinian Christian to a room full of white evangelicals, and then we polled the audience, and most of them sided with the plight of the Palestinian people. And I'm like, yes, this is great. Absolutely. We should be talking about this. Or hearing a panel full of women talking about toxic church leadership and toxic church abuse and male pastors who are sexist and who are hurting people. Yes, absolutely. And how we have to do better. Yes, absolutely. And then there was a panel of LGBTQ plus people who were only side B. We'll come back to that. And then there was, the talk with Brian Zond. So much of what I heard on the platform and off the platform, I was like, man, we are so aligned in many, many ways. Now, of course, there were other ways that we weren't. Some people there really thought that there was a radical far left that was trying to really undermine, systems and societal structures. Now, I did talk to one person. I'm not going to name him, but he's an academic. He actually studied this stuff for a living. And he essentially told me, he's like, listen, look, I think that people who are drawing from critical theory, critical race theory, are actually diagnosing the issue really well. I just don't agree with their solutions. I think that's a fair point. And I'm going to bring that person on the podcast because that was for me, my most favorite conversation that I had, I think, out of the whole event. It was so thought-provoking and so helpful. So yeah, there definitely were points of disagreement. Of course, if you know anything about Ruslan, him and I don't see eye to eye in a lot of things. But you know what? What was so life-giving about being there? It was such good faith. Like on Friday night, all the speakers were at Preston's house. I was out there till 12:30 a.m. talking to all these people that I met, right? And just having stimulating, encouraging, trying to find common ground, but also talking about our differences. And I felt like I was 19 again, around a fire with my friends talking about theology and the church. Like, it was just, for me, so life-giving. And I loved it. Like, I loved being there. I loved being able to represent my perspective, our perspective. I love being able to challenge some of the views of people who wanted to have a good faith dialogue around non-affirming theology and why I changed my mind. It was just so good. It was so good. The hardest part for me, honestly, was listening to the Side B only panel of LGBTQ plus people. Now, I want to tread really carefully here. And here's why. I'll tell you why. I want to tread carefully because I have a personal rule that I do not critique people when it comes to how they handle their sexuality or their gender. Meaning, I know that inside the community, there can be debate between Side A and Side B, which, by the way, let me just say, Side B LGBTQ plus people are folks who choose to be celibate usually. So they would say, hey, I am a gay Christian, but I live a celibate life. Or, hey, yes, I'm a lesbian, but I live a celibate life. And I know that inside that space, it's debated and it's argued. I don't feel like it's my call as a straight white man to tell people how to manage their own sexuality. So let me just preface by saying all of my thoughts that I'm going to share with you are not thoughts that I think people who might be Side B need to listen to, right? So if someone is listening to this right now who's on that panel, I'm not telling you that you have to change the way that you decide, or that, or maybe a better way of putting it is the way that you believe God has called you to live out your sexuality or your gender. That's for you to decide. So here are some of my thoughts. I think what was difficult for me was it seemed like it was a very heavy burden that those folks were carrying. And it was tough because I just felt, I empathized with them in the sense of many of them expressed this feeling of like, I wanted to be married. I wanted to be in a relationship with someone, but I believe God's best for me was not that. Now, again, it's not my role or my job to manage or to decide for someone how they handle that. But to me, being on this side and having affirming theology, it just seemed like, wow, what a heavy burden that they have to bear because they're so committed to the belief that even though God created them and that they have these very normal and natural inclinations sexually, there's no outlet that God gave them besides being celibate. Now, the other side of that, and I think this is important, was a couple people there talked about how they found solace and support by building their own chosen family. And now this goes back, personally for me, I resonated so heavily with this because I grew up, as many of you know, in a very tight-knit chosen community. We were called 11th Hour. They were my people. Okay, like we did life, not just the church evangelical life together. We did life together. We did everything together. We did the movies. We did the Mario Kart tournaments. We did the Bible studies. When someone's mom passed away, we were there with her day in and day out for days. I love that idea of kind of smashing this nuclear family model as being the only way to have a true family. And hearing some of the speakers who were like, I found a new family and here they are. It's these six people and this is my tribe. That's really thought provoking, right? I mean, for me, it was like, yes, I love this. I'm all about thinking in ways that give people better options for how they deal with or think about a family. It just, for me, was so difficult to hear almost sometimes the sense of like burden that they had in their voice of like, I wanted this. Maybe I even believed this at one point and then I changed my mind. So that part was tough. And also, and again, I don't want to critique Preston behind my microphone, but him and I have talked about this, so it's not a secret. I really wish he had a queer affirming voice on that panel. But to be very fair, I mean, Preston was pretty emphatic at the conference. I mean, he said from the stage that he would take a bullet for traditional marriage, essentially, is what he said. So he feels very strongly about this. Well, obviously, I know most of this audience feels strongly in the other direction. So I don't anticipate Preston doing that anytime soon. However, I do appreciate his, we have to be careful with how we approach this. We have to be loving. We have to be people who use people's pronouns and that kind of thing. So I don't know, maybe some of you are like yelling at the speaker, like, oh my gosh, this theology is so toxic. And other people are saying, yes, it's a start. Yes. Yes and yes. Am I allowed to say both and, not either or from my vantage point?
Hi, Hi, my name is Courtney. I live in London, United Kingdom, and I am a T&E monthly donor. I'm a domestic abuse survivor and was raised with John MacArthur and purity culture rhetoric. I left my abuser in September 2020, moving from LA to Southern Utah. I had been a Cali girl my whole life, so seeing the Christian nationalism and patriarchy present in Utah gave me quite a shock. During that time, I began deconstructing and making sense of my abuse and how my church upbringing and political affiliations contributed to it. It's a painful discovery that I'm still coming to terms with. I've never been a big believer in tithing, but you guys gave me a mission I can get behind. I hate that term now, but I don't know of any other more fitting. The U.S. is on a trajectory mirroring that of 1930s Germany, and if something isn't done soon to circumvent that, I worry what the repercussions would be not just for the U.S., but for the whole world.
What is up? This is Tripp from the Homebrewed Christianity podcast, and I am pumped to tell you about Project Amplify. That is something that the new evangelicals are up to. It's a new endeavor. And guess what? I've been a longtime supporter of T&E, and when I heard about Project Amplify, I'm like, oh, junk. That sounds great. Why? Why? Well, when Christianity shows up in the public square, I usually have a hard time associating with its content with, I don't know, what Jesus said and did and endured and testified to in the one he called Abba. Well, if you want people that are deeply engaged in communicating in our current medium and you want to support it so maybe what pops up in your algorithm doesn't make you want to hurl and call Jesus and say, hey, you need some new PR, then maybe you should be a member supporting what's going on at Project Amplify. I'm excited about it, so check it out.
One thing I really appreciated about the event, though, was honestly how diverse it was. I mean, this was not a bunch of white dudes getting up on panels. This was an ethically, a racial, and even a sexually diverse crowd of people sharing from different perspectives who seemed to be thinking about things in very good faith ways. I mean, I heard a lot of talk about how we have to take social justice issues seriously, how it's not Marxist to believe in racial justice and racial equity. Yes. I do think that, you know, a lot of times, right, we have these dynamics of, are you conservative or are you liberal? And to their credit, I think that most people I heard speak in the overall tone of the conference was like, listen, if we claim allegiance to Jesus, what does that look like now? So yes, maybe when we say we have to fight for racial equity, that might land for some people as more liberal, but that's not what we're talking about here. And when we say something like, I don't know, insert X issue here, maybe like being pro-life, right? That doesn't mean that we're in the camp of like the pro-life, just get rid of the laws perspective. Like maybe there's a more holistic way of thinking about the term pro-life. Great. Yes. I'm all about thinking about these things deeply and thinking about them in all of their nuance, right? So that really, really was encouraging. I will say one thing that I found, I don't know, maybe like untenable. And this is a critique that I have in general of like the broader evangelical world is I heard the phrase biblical used pretty often. We have, you know, what's the biblical take? And I just think that honestly, when you say that, because the Bible is so not univocal on so many things, it's just hard for me to know exactly what you mean, right? Like the biblical take on what? Because there's a biblical take on slavery and it's not positive. So I do think that maybe one of my personal like moments of like, well, I can take it or leave it is this language of biblical and how we navigate that. But again, I mean, I'm being picky here and I can work with that, right? Like I'm very much in the space of pragmatically speaking, what can we do to work as widely as possible to help lower the temperature in the room? You know, one thing I thought about a lot after this conference was, I'm not sure if I'm so concerned about your theological paradigm as I am about how you advocate for the rights of your marginalized neighbors in the public square. Meaning, right, if someone is like, hey, Tim, I believe this about I believe that the Bible teaches X about sexuality, right? Okay, that could be problematic. If you acknowledge, though, that in a pluralistic, democratic, secular society, queer people deserve the same access to healthcare and civil rights and legal rights and marital rights as you do, I can look past the theology, right? I could say, okay, you know, the church discussion is different than the societal discussion, because listen, churches do all kinds of things, right? There are churches that don't let women in leadership. Does that mean, though, that those churches have a right to insist that women can't lead in the secular square? Of course not. And while I am concerned, of course, about that theology in those church spaces, especially with how they can hurt women, there's a bigger societal topic as well. And so I kind of think about it like that when it comes to this issue, where it's like, listen, most people who I've talked to who are queer, they go, Tim, listen, I want a church to tell me where they stand emphatically so I can know to either attend or not attend. If a church says we are not affirming, we believe it's sinful, thank you, I'm going to move on and find a church that actually affirms who I am as a human. Great. That is such a different approach than saying, hey, I have this not affirming theology, and because of that theology, I believe that all queer people everywhere in America should have limited rights and limited access to things that other people get access to. I don't know. Maybe that's too pragmatic. Maybe folks would disagree with me. I totally get that. I'm certainly not trying to say that I have the hard and fast right approach to this very complicated topic in so many ways. But yeah, I mean, overall, would I go back to this? Yes, I definitely would. Any chance to be able to represent the work that we're doing as a community and being able to say we're here, this is the experience of so many people when it comes to deconstruction and what we're trying to find a better way forward from and into, I am here for. And let me tell you, compared to something like Turning Point USA, this was heaven on earth. I mean, being able to sit with people for hours, having friends of mine who I respect get in the same room and have discussions that I've wanted them to have for so long. Man, it was just so, so great. So someone asked me a question I want to answer here. They essentially said, if my church, you know, promotes Exiles in Babylon or Preston's work, is it safe for my trans or queer child to be a part of? I'm going to be very honest with you, and then hopefully this gives you the tools to make a wise decision, because I can't make that decision for you. I will tell you that, obviously, from what I can tell, Preston and his work and places like this advocate for living like they accept queer people, meaning, yes, use their pronouns. Yes, affirm their gender if that's who they are. Yes, love them well. I mean, Preston says in one of his books that the church should be full of queer people. And he doesn't really say ... as long as they do A, B, C, D, or E. However, you should know that Preston is emphatically clear that he does believe that the Bible is clear on what human sexuality regarding gender and sex is designed for and what it should look like. So I don't know, right? It just depends on your circumstance. It depends on how you want to navigate that. I do not know the answer to that question. I will just say what I learned from being at the conference. There was a trans person there. And as far as I can tell, I don't know their pronouns, but I'll just say they to be safe. They were fully affirmed. They spoke. They were on the panel. They were loved and accepted. Preston called them one of the most devout Christians they ever met. So take that for what it's worth. But anyway, friends, that's kind of the whole recap that I can think of. Oh, one more thing I wanted to say that was so important. Several people, this gives you a great synopsis of the posture of the audience. There was over 1,000 people there. Several people came up to me and said, hey, I followed you or I knew about your work before I met you. And, you know, I had really ill feelings towards you, or I had a really bad taste in my mouth about the work that you were doing. And I want you to know that after hearing you talk, you've really changed my mind. And I want to ask for forgiveness from you for holding that view in my head. And I was just like, wow, thank you. Like, first off, there's nothing to even ask forgiveness for, because it's the internet. We all have our opinions. But there were several people who did that, and they really said, I'm so sorry, and I really think the work that you're doing is actually really encouraging and really good. So that was really cool. Like, being able to hear people say that was so awesome. Having people who knew about the work that we did come out to the event just to see it, or you know, just to hear me speak or to be part of the event because I was there, super encouraging. So that's kind of my recap. It was overwhelmingly positive. I mean, what else can I say? Of course, I have issues. Of course, the theology, there are some big differences on, but I will put it this way. If this was the posture that the white American evangelical church took since the beginning of the, you know, major visibility of queer people and fight for queer inclusion, we would not have the volatile culture war that we have today. I don't think that we would have so many queer people as angry as they are at the church. And I don't think that the church would be nearly as dehumanizing and angry as they are today towards queer people. I think that it would be a very much an amicable, hey, we get it. We respect your theology. We want to, you know, you have a right to practice that on the one side, and the other side would say, hey, thank you so much. We respect your right to exist. We believe in your right to exist. We want to treat you with empathy. And also we believe in your rights, your civil rights to have access to healthcare and marital benefits, et cetera. And while we disagree on the theology, we really wish you the best on your journey. I think that would have been the overall tone culturally, instead of this really intense dehumanization that we continue to see from right-wing evangelical spaces, calling trans people demonic. And, you know, Michael Knowles says we have to eradicate transgenderism. I mean, that rhetoric is thousands of miles away from events like this. And so for me, ultimately, that is a win. Even though, to be very clear, I do find the theology for many reasons problematic. I just thought pragmatically, man, what a better culture, what a better church this this would all be if this was the posture that we started with, right? Now, I have some other questions, right? Like, I want to know from people in this event, is there any room for Christians to hold affirming theology? Like, I would love to ask Preston, maybe I will behind the scenes, like, Preston, do you see me as a Christian? Is there room for disagreement on this issue? And because the panels and because the speakers are all so diverse, I would imagine that I would get a plurality of responses. So I don't want to pigeonhole the people at this event in one camp or the other. Those are just some of the questions that I came away with, right? Like, can we just start making room for Christians on this issue, the same way that we make room for Christians who would hold complementarian or egalitarian theology? Can we make room for Christians who are saying, actually, I'm not convinced by either the biblical evidence or the church evidence or how we understand sexuality today, that we have to hold this non-affirming theology that forces queer people who want to follow Jesus to either be a side B queer Christian or not a Christian at all, right? Not welcomed at all. So those are questions that I'm wrestling through. But friends, I just want to say again, thank you for listening. Hopefully this recap was helpful and encouraging. I also want to say thank you to everyone who supports the work that we do. I can't go to these events. I can't speak on behalf of our community. I can't advocate for the perspectives that we have without your support. I want to thank all of our donors out there. I want to thank people who actually give us the fuel to cover the expenses and that allow me to do this work with our team. Thank you. And if you want to be a part of that work, donating truly is the best way to help. We believe in a many hands make light work approach, meaning I'm not asking one person for $1 million. Although if there is someone out there who wants to donate $1 million, we are a nonprofit. Okay. So it is a big tax write-off and it will be put to good use. But rather, the approach is, what if we got 30 people to donate $20 a month? What if we got 100 people to donate $15 a month? So if that's you, if you're willing and able, would you consider becoming a monthly supporter of the work that we do? It allows us to do this, the podcast, the Facebook group, the Theology 101, the book club, all of the content. It allows us to have the team. So please consider that. You can find the link in our show notes. All donations are tax deductible, and they make this work possible. Friends, I would love to hear your thoughts on this. What do you think about this recap? Was it helpful? Was it encouraging? Was it discouraging? Send me an email at info@thenewevangelicals.com. I will talk to you all on Friday for our recap episode with April and Andrew Whitehead, because it is the end of the month. So we're going to cover some Christian nationalism data as well. Again, thank you for listening. I don't take this job lightly. I don't take this work lightly. And we are making the change that we want to see, finding that better way forward. Talk to you all later on.